So tell me about your childhood.
I'm no psychologist, but that was definitely a cry for help.
It was actually quite traumatic.
Oh my gosh, trauma alert.
I definitely did that for attention.
I had a great relationship with my parents, I think.
Well.
Oh.
Well, hello.
My goodness.
Welcome back, listeners.
Have you been waiting by your phone
God,
for a
with
month?
With bated breath, my dear God.
Have you been unable to sleep, perhaps?
People are having night terrors.
I sure am, and not because
about the
of this
fact
podcast.
That our podcast has not been around. Yeah, me too. Actually, I got to tell you, I have been having a disturbing night terrors.
Let's get into it.
Shall I tell you each and every last detail of my night terrors?
I really do, and I also want to tell you about my dream last night. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. You must. Okay, yeah. So I've been having, the sleep paralysis, right? Where
you can't
it's like,
sleep.
You know, a demon's trying to get in here, okay?
But well, you're still?
Yeah, good fucking luck, okay? I have a rosary by my bedside next to my pillow, and several Jesus crosses on my wall. Okay. Good luck, demons. Mm. Okay? But, you know, they try and come in. They try and come in the night. And I'm not having it. In my dream, I'm telling you, every time this happens, because, you know, have you ever had that? Like the sleep paralysis where it's like a rush of evil energy coming into your body. This is very dark. I don't mean to disturb our listeners.
This was right. Hi, we missed you. Have you been sleeping? Yes. Well, I haven't. Here's the demon that's coming inside of me.
Yes.
So I have experienced like thoughts of my own that stress me out, but never a demon. Yep. So go on and enlighten me what this is like.
Right. Well, there's several like subreddit threads, and you know I'm like the fucking queen goddess of subreddit. I'm such a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Any thought I have, it's going into the Reddit app,
of
right?
Of course.
So anyway, sleep paralysis, it's like, you know, it's like when you cannot move in your dream, but you're trying to move,
right?
You know, but like you are trapped, you are paralyzed.
Yeah, I know.
And there's many theories, and I believe them to be true, that, you know, these are dark spirits trying to enter you.
And
I'm like,
your space,
again, what I said is like, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus is on my side. Anyway, so, but in my dream, I'm always, the second the spirit is coming in, I'm always in the dream, I'm always like, God protect me, God protect me, God,
okay.
God.
Instant.
Okay. And then it goes away, and then I grab my little rosary, also I sleep next to my father's prayer card.
Okay.
Yes, my father did pass away.
Okay.
On December 4th. I don't mean to get right into it. I'm sorry. But
we'll take a pause for a moment.
Yeah.
And then we'll dive into the demons. But how are you feeling, Maggie? We know that you suffered a great loss. And
yes, my dad, he died on December 4th. It was very sudden, you know. I mean, we don't really know what happened there.
And you didn't want to find out because your dad wouldn't have liked
that. Yeah, he wouldn't have wanted an autopsy, you know, and he, it was like maybe an aneurysm or maybe an embolism. I don't really know what these are.
I understand aneurysm because I'm constantly looking up if it's happening to me, but I don't know what an embolism is. And you get an embolism.
I Googled embolism. And I was like, I still don't get it.
Embolism.
I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Are they in the same family? It's a brain thing.
I don't know. I don't know. But it was traumatic. You know, for those of you who don't know, I live like 4 minutes from my parents from where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in my apartment and, you know, my mom called me and told me, you know. And I mean, I'm not going to, probably won't cry about this on this podcast. Don't want to disturb our listeners. But,
for those of you still listening.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't tuned out about this horrible intro. But, you know, I mean, I've cried about it a lot and I continue to, obviously. But, I went over and he was gone. He was on. This is very dark. He was on the living room floor. But you know what? I do want to talk about it because I want people to feel like if they experience something,
mm-hmm.
you know, like this, they can talk about it. It's okay to talk about it. Yeah. You know, it's okay to talk about these dark things and move forward and, you know, not be like burying shit forever.
Right.
You know.
So, and your family is very unique in that you all sort of were there together celebrating each other and your love for one another.
Right. My brothers are older than me. They're in their 40s and they each have kids. The oldest one, Joe, has 3 kids and the younger one, Pat, has 2 kids. And they live in Queens. The older one lives in Queens, the other one lives in Park Slope. So we were all there, and this is very dark what I am about to say. I because of COVID. No, my dad did not have COVID, thank God. Because of COVID, the coroner could not show up for 6-7 hours.
Right.
So my dad's body was on the floor under a sheet, and we were all just sitting there, my brothers and my mom and I. So that was traumatic. Mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, the coroner, when he came, he, you know, 1 star. If there's a Yelp
for coroners,
this guy was a bitch. Let me tell you, I don't know. He was just it was almost like, because he was there at 12 midnight or whatever. And I just felt like he was he was inconvenienced.
Oh,
that he had get out of bed. I was like, oh, I'm sorry to inconvenience you.
Is he an on-call is that a thing?
He is. He's an independent. And of course, he's so
did you
creepy.
Hire him through TaskRabbit? How did you?
We found him on Craigslist last minute, and he just showed up. I don't even know if it was legit, honestly. You know,
he's probably just doing it as a side hustle. It's a side hustle.
He's literally an artist. Yeah, right. He's literally trying to be a stand-up comedian. He's an open micer. Let me tell you, he's an open micer, and this is his side hustle.
He's like, ugh.
But he was just being annoying. I guess I told you the story, Jess.
Well,
right?
I, from my perspective, you just texted me a very blunt statement that said my dad died, and I cannot text back as a friend in that situation without immediately.
I called you
because I couldn't text you and be like,
I don't even remember really who
I
spoke
and that's
to
okay.
That
a very very fair to say you didn't remember, but I called you and you were like, hey, we're here. He's on the floor. We're drinking. It's weird. I'm crying.
It's so weird.
And
man.
Then you cried, and then you were I'm sure.
But you know what's crazy? I want to tell this part. You know what's crazy? So my dad's name is Frank, but he went by Franis. Because
I thought it was the opposite. That's incredible.
I know, because literally on my Instagram, I was like, my sweet father, Franis, and everyone's like, Franis? what is
that's
that?
That's incredible.
I know, his name was Francis and Frank, you know, but that he went by Franis. And, you know, but we all called him Franis, I guess because, you know, a cousin, said it wrong, years ago or something, when he was a kid or whatever.
You're like, that's
so
amazing.
Anyway, yeah, it was so funny. So, my mom called him Franis forever. And we all did, you know, so. But when we had these, random bottles of wine, in the house, you know, this is, a small New York City apartment. We had these random bottles of wine, you know, dusty bottles, and we started drinking, my brothers and my mom and I, that night, and the first bottle was called the Frank.
Oh.
And then my brother Joan, he took a Sharpie and crossed out the C and added IS so that it was the Franis. And then the second bottle was called Beyond.
Wow.
Yeah, Beyond Sauvignon Blanc. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the third bottle was called Angel's Tears.
No.
Yes.
That is.
And I mean, this was a very surreal experience. It was absolutely traumatic, but also it's so surreal that you can't even process it.
Oh,
happening.
No,
so
no,
we were we were laughing, you know, we were oh my God, this is so funny. My brother and I were laughing about it. I hope they don't mind. I'm telling the story. Oh God. I don't think they listen.
It's
oh,
okay.
God.
It's okay.
Oh, forgive me.
No,
Joan,
that is,
Pat. Forgive me.
It is special though, that you're able to I call you and be like, we're here, we have each other, and we're and you're like, this might sound weird that we're drinking, but it's also okay, and no one knows your own experience, so how,
right,
you know?
And listen, death is very weird. This is my first big loss. Like this, I've lost friends, and, you know, like family members and stuff, but this is
it's
like,
it's your father. It's not like an uncle, an aunt. It's,
yeah,
it's your,
and you know, I'm the youngest guy. And I, this is, that is the hardest part is like, yeah. Oof, well, here I go. Well, okay. Strap me to the gurney. I'm about to cry. But, you know, like, it's like, that's it. That's the hardest part is like, you know, I will not see him again. That is,
yeah.
Like, and I know that's like so obvious,
right?
Like, duh, but it's like, oh, I will never speak to him again.
But you will, and you can in your own way. And I think that's what's special about.
I do. And I, yeah, I do. And I know I'm monopolizing the podcast conversation.
You're absolutely
not. Please forgive me, Jessica.
No, absolutely not.
Maybe you could do, you know, I love your disclaimers that you do. Hi, everybody. Oh, yeah. We just want to let you know that the audio for this does not work. This is a silent podcast, but enjoy. And I'm just like, oh, wow, you know. I love the Jessica Saul disclaimer.
It's just an apology, but I haven't had to say a disclaimer.
Right.
I think the one time when we're like, we might have spoken about body image, and if you hate yourself, then don't listen to this.
You're like so sensitive, and I'm like, wait, well, I don't even remember what we said. But
okay, so.
But, so, you know.
You will talk,
I mean,
to him.
Yes, I do. And I gotta say, like, I mean, oh, my dad was like the sweetest person.
Yeah.
He was so sweet, so funny.
Time
I'm surprised
to plug.
I'm not weeping.
Dad, daughter, right. Blog.
You know, I started a podcast with him in August.
Yeah. So special that you did that.
I know. And I, you know, we did like 3 episodes and my mom came on as a guest, you know, like, and I have not been able to listen to that, but yeah,
you will eventually.
I will, and I have a lot of voicemails from my dad that I have not been able to listen to, and a lot of videos of him
that
I took, like funny videos.
Oh my
you
gosh,
know?
Your whole story that you have devoted to him on your Instagram.
I have devoted
amazing.
Yes, dad highlights on Instagram.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah,
highly recommend. 5 stars, dad highlights.
Yeah. So and you know, like, I don't have a bad thing to say about him. He was like, I am so blessed to have him as my dad. Like, really, like, I know that. And that's one thing I think about too. Like, I think a lot of people, you know, like, when they lose a parent, it's like, it is so horrible, you know, no matter what the circumstance. But, I think a lot of people have, like, you know, complex relationships with their parents,
right. Yeah.
And it's like, that's so hard to like lose them and feel like you don't have closure, like
right.
You feel like you don't know, you know, how you feel about them or whatever, and you're so sad, and then you have all this guilt that you didn't do this, and I'm like, I have my own guilt issues. I'm like,
of course,
but I did see him a lot, you know, during the pandemic. We would go for walks in the park, and so cute, you know. He would call me up, you know, leave a voicemail like, hi, Maggie. Wondering if you want to take a walk. Oh, let me know. I'm available. Like, you know, obviously he's available. Like, we're both available. We don't have jobs. There is nothing going on. Yeah, so, you know, it was so cute. And so, I mean, there's so many things I could say about him. But, you know, he's such a sweet man. And I know he is watching over me, blessing me.
I remember we were walking in the park and you were like, yeah, this pod that we started, I'm glad that, you know, I'll have it when, if, you know, God forbid, you know,
oh,
I don't want to say it.
Oh,
lose
my
it.
God.
And just thinking about that now, and I saw you in September, and we took a walk in the park. And so you just don't know how precious time is with a loved one.
I know. And that's one thing, like, that I will say. Like,
fucking hug your dads, everybody.
For real.
And your mommies.
For real. Be there for your parents, you know. Be there as best you can, you know.
Be kind and accept them for all the
and
damage
also,
and trauma they've given
right
you.
And then also, like, if you truly lose them, don't you know, beat yourself up and be like, I should have done this, I should have done that, you know, like, that's right. Gonna fucking torture you, and you gotta let go of that. They wouldn't want that for you. That's what I tell myself, like, because I'm thinking back, you know, I go back to moments where I'm like 10 and I was like, you shut up, Dad. You know,
right.
I'm like, how could I have done that? He was a
everyone
good man.
Does that,
you know,
yeah.
Like, I'm just like, it's just crazy. But
you know what I find the saddest thing is, like, when, because when my Bubby passed away. She didn't. Yeah. She had severe. No, my dad's. My dad's mom, but she had severe dementia, and she. I think I told you this, and you were like, "She's my icon." She was like wiping poop on the walls. I think you were like, "Oh, she's my icon."
Okay, she's my mentor.
You're like, was that a performance art project? Why didn't she call me?
I'm like, that's not a bad idea. I'm not going to wait till I have Alzheimer's to do that shit, okay? Yeah. Do that.
Well, she lived, that's why it was dementia, because Alzheimer's can kill you, but dementia, right. She lived very old. But when she died, she obviously, like, did not know who my dad was and, like, had her finger in her mouth and, like, rocking in a rocking chair when he came. And he's like, it was so devastating because you feel like they leave this earth in the last moments that you have with them. They don't even know who you are.
Oh, my God.
And I think that is so painful to think about, because then you're like, does she, when she leaves, does she go back to, like, 40-year-old mom who, like, remembered me? And that scares me, too, because my dad's a little...
Okay.
I think sometimes he does things that I'm like, oh, you're doing that like your mom did, and that kind of freaky. And so I'm just like trying to, I'm like, do a puzzle, dad, like read the news.
You know,
like,
they say smoking weed helps with Alzheimer's. I don't know. You know, I read studies, you know, I just, I read it. Trust me. I know what I'm talking about.
Well, then I will be.
Give your father a blunt.
I started taking mushroom and lion's mane to help my brain fogginess.
Wait, what?
Stop just it. A blend of proprietary blend of
mushroom
of vitamins
and lion's mane?
Mushroom extract, lion's mane, ginkgo.
Wait. Biloba. Are these actually extracts from lion's manes?
I have traveled and extracted the manes of lions.
with my bare hands.
No, I truly do not know, but I've been, like, a little brain foggy lately, and my ADD has been out of control, and, like, too anxious to take actual medication, so I am,
You don't take medication.
No, I should be medicated highly, and
I see.
So I was like, let's go to a vitamin store and, like, pick out what I think is going to help me, which probably doesn't, but it makes me feel like I am.
Interesting.
Anyway, I'm trying to keep my brain sharp because mental illness runs in the fam.
You got to because the same thing. My grandmother, my mom's mom, in 2006, she passed away. I was, like, 13.
Yeah.
She had severe dementia. She didn't know what was going on, but when in her nursing home, this is, like, my biggest memory of it, is, like, she was like, yeah, I'm a lifeguard, you know. I was like, okay. And she was like, yeah, there was a flood and I saved everyone. It's fine. It is what it is. I was like, all right, you know, like, you know, I'm glad you're feeling good about yourself, you know.
It's
I don't know.
It's such, like, a modest fantasy of who you could be. Like, a lifeguard who saves people. Other people are like, I'm fucking Queen of England and you will bow down to me.
I am nervous that, like, if I were to get Alzheimer's, that I would say, like, I don't know, evil stuff. You know what I mean? I'd be like, if I had kids, like, I'd be like, I fucking hate you. You know what I mean? That's my worst fear.
Yeah.
I'm so nervous that if I had, like, a child, you know, that I would just, like, I don't know, like, that I would not be my sweetest self, you know.
I don't know if it because that's usually, we're afraid of that when we do drugs or alter our mind anyway, and we're like, oh, drunk me is gonna say the truth. Yeah. You know, whatever our unconscious or subconscious is feeling. And I don't know if, like, that's how Alzheimer's works though.
Yeah, is it, like, is Alzheimer's kind of like being,
it's
like,
your
in a
true
blackout
self?
Right, like, are you, like, blacked out?
No, I,
like,
don't think that's, I don't know that's the case.
I remember, actually, in college, I did, like, I double majored in theater and psychology, but, like, the psychology major, like, so classic, right? It's like, yeah, psychology is a backup. Yeah. Yeah, you know, in case I just feel like being a therapist, like, obviously, I have a degree.
Obviously, I really know people.
Right. Well, I straight up did not pay attention. I didn't know what was going on. I was just so focused on, like, directing my, like, you know, pornographic plays that I had written. Anyway, whatever. You know, I have issues. Anyways, but, you know, so then, it, you know, in the the project, I don't even remember my main takeaway from that project on Alzheimer's that I did, this presentation, which
did
I like
present oh from psychology. Did, oh, okay, psychology.
I was did like, what a PowerPoint. I did a PowerPoint and I think I failed. Like, I think I'm pretty sure that the teacher was like, I don't think this research is real. I think you just made all this up. And I straight up, I kind of made it up. I kind of lied. I was like, yeah, you know, there are studies, but whatever.
That's incredible that you didn't even like plagiarize. You just made it up.
I know.
Like, I would never have the balls to do that. I would
I was
so
just
hard.
Like, yeah. You know, because that's so much of my dad really is, he was like, just sell it. Sell
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Because my dad was like, not to, you know, bring back to my loving
no,
sweet father, Frannis.
This episode is going to be dedicated to Frannis, FYI.
It is dedicated. Dedicated. And, but he was such a great speaker.
May I just say your eulogy?
Oh my goodness.
She crushed it, y'all. She really did.
Okay.
Five stars. So I put it on, and in my classic Jessica Saw form, I was like lifting 5-pound weights while watching it.
Oh my God, you are so crazy.
Because I was like,
you're like, I got to get a workout
in.
No,
I was like mid-workout while you sent it. And I'm like, I'm not going to wait to watch this. I want to watch it now. So I watched it and I was just like, and then I put the weights down because I actually started to weep.
Yeah. I mean, you know what's funny about the eulogy is like, I had it filmed because I have issues. And
no, you want a film. That's the thing.
But
that
the thing
film.
Is, I did want it because I just I had and I need help because I did have two different friends film it from different angles. I was like, well, you know, if I want to edit this together and send it to the comedy festivals, I mean, I gotta be ready for that.
You
know?
Gotta have two
I
angles.
Mean, it's, I know, I know.
But
so,
thank God you did.
I know, and
I think I got the best angle. To
Yeah. My friend Jill, God bless her, and Ashlyn.
Yeah.
Filmed it.
Yeah, yeah.
I asked them to secretly before the funeral started.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
no, that's a special thing to have anyway. So you can show your children.
Yes, exactly. And my brothers spoke as well so beautifully. Like they
all impromptu.
All of us. And that I'm telling you that and
extemporaneously.
You know what my friends were saying, they were like, did Frannis have like a speech school that you guys went to? You know, because because, like, we none of us had papers. We were just kind of speaking extemporaneously.
Yeah, yeah.
We just kind of had points. And I, you know, we all kind of covered different things about him, you know.
Right.
And he was a great father to all of us.
Yeah.
All of us, you know. And
individually.
And
like,
yes,
you had your own relationship with him.
That's right. And, you know, because my brothers are a lot older than me. So, you know, like, that he was the little league coach and he was like the sports guy, you know, and then with me, like that's a thing I kind of touched on is like that he just let me be myself.
Yeah.
But that is such a gift, you know, like so many fathers do not let their kids be themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm
that's
like, come on,
thing.
Daddy,
yeah.
get it together. And I, you know, I mean, I just know that is such a blessing. I know that's such a blessing.
To celebrate who you are.
Yeah, that's right. And right. And he was always just like, yeah, do what you want. Do what you know, do what you makes you happy. And he did the same thing. He was like, that is just his legacy is like, he did not care what anyone fucking thought about him.
Yeah.
No one. He did not care. He was truly like a free spirit. And I.
Yeah. That's so
and
special.
I just, so I do, I.
You
him,
have that
you,
gift
you know.
From him.
It is a gift, you know, and also, you know, my mom is an angel, and
I thought you were.
I live with her
outfit.
Now.
Sorry, I thought you were like, and also,
I am an angel. Can you imagine? And also, I'm pretty great. Anyway, can you imagine? Oh my god!
No, your mom,
my sweet mother, man, I love her, Dorothy. But
she's also a gem.
She's a gem, and you know, we are so close, and I'm staying with her now. I have been since my dad died, so like over a month now. But
and you guys are sleeping near each other. There was one night when you I didn't know how to process what was being said to me.
Oh my god. Okay, so I have these things that I like in the night. I'm just like I have all these like thoughts and I'm like always like scheming, you know.
Yeah.
and I like record my thoughts on voice memo and like send it to Jess.
Do that. Yeah.
I send it to you and a few other people, and they're all like, you need help. But we did this scenario. Well, one night my mom, so she sleeps in the chair in the living room.
Yeah.
And
which
she loves it.
It looks
like
a comfy chair.
It's comfy, you know, and we have a whole ritual where I tuck her in, you know, it's like so cute, you know. Not to be like, oh yes, man, I tuck her in, blah blah blah. But it's like funny. Like it's like, you know, step one, blanket number one.
But was that her where she would sleep normally before?
Yes, yes.
Oh, she just like enjoyed sleeping on the chair.
She likes like a chair. Yeah, it's not like a straight back chair. She's not a psychopath. It's a.
It does look comfy.
Can you imagine? Yeah. It's a stool. It's a backless stool. No, she's
she sleeps on the kitchen counter, laid down,
eyes open, but she's
eyes
asleep.
Open, one hand in the refrigerator.
Yes, but so then with this one night she came in, because she comes in the morning, you know, because I'm not working, right? I mean, who is? I mean, I know you are, Jess, because you have a life,
but like half, it's okay.
Yeah, right. So I'm not working, and you know, she comes in the morning, and I'm like, Mom. Mom, come and get me. It's so funny. And then she comes in, and then she like sits in the chair next to my bed, and we just chit chat. And it's so cute.
So
and
at
then...
6 a.m. there was a timestamp on it, and I was like, what's going on?
Oh, that's
on
right.
Here?
Because one night she came in, and I couldn't sleep. She couldn't sleep. She came in, and then we do these like funny scenarios where I'm like, I wet the bed.
That's
Mommy.
What that was. And I was like, I'm concerned, but also I'm enjoying this. Go on.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I don't care that you wet the bed. You gotta sleep in it. It's like, I don't even know what we're doing. But what I meant to send to you was a different voice memo about my fake boyfriend, which I created.
Lars. Which he does have an Instagram account.
I gotta fuck
He's
him.
Not
right.
fake. If he has an account, that definitely means that he is a real living human.
Oh, he is very real.
He also looks like one of the guys that stormed the Capitol, might I say.
No, he doesn't. He? Oh my God.
He looks like the guy Capitol. With like, the ski hat holding the podium.
With the horns. Yeah. No, he looks like the guy with the horns.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I know a little too much about the guy with the horns. Okay.
What do you mean? You know, because you did
Jake
research,
and Jelly.
Or you dated
now,
him?
No, because listen, he was one of my fuckboys, and I'm not proud of it. But I gotta tell
you,
I
know that you tweeted. Wait, I know you tweeted something about like, sorry, I can't hang out today because I'm from the Capitol. Was that
no,
real?
No. I tweeted Republican fuckboy.
Yeah.
Or what did it? What was it? Hey,
Republican fuckboy. Hey,
fuck
sorry,
tomorrow?
I can't fuck tonight.
I just got done storming the Capitol. I'm so tired. Let me know. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. But no, I posted that to my Instagram story. Do you know how many guys? Do you know how many guys reached out to me and were like, is this real? I'm
oh,
like, you
were so guys mad. Were like, concerned.
Oh yeah, and I'm like, oh, I cannot with these guys. They're just
what? Because they were like, hey, yeah, I'm gonna storm your puss.
Yes. Yeah, they want to storm this puss, and let me tell you.
There's no security in that puss or the Capitol.
Let me tell you. Yeah, the National Guard has not been called, so feel free to storm the puss, all right? But, you know, it's like, yeah, we got to discuss the storming of the Capitol.
I know, a lot has transpired, my God.
What?
I journaled about it this morning, actually.
I journaled about it, too. And you
oh, my
so
God.
Funny? You know I love to journal about, you know. Yeah. So in the journal, as it was happening, I was like, okay, I just want you to know, journal, the Capitol is getting stormed. And I am reporting live to you, journal. Like, literally, as I was journaling, like, the Capitol was getting stormed, and then we won Georgia.
Yeah,
right?
It was so, it was like sweaty day of emotions.
It was so much. I'm sure you were too. I was watching the news from like 2 p.m. to like 10 p.m.
Yeah.
It was just like, I was glued to like CNN, you know, and I just, there's so many layers to this shit.
It's horrifying. Yeah.
It's so horrifying.
It's deeply upsetting though, because we know who's responsible is what's the most hurtful. which is what I journaled about.
Mm-hmm. Right, that it is the most hurtful, right? And it's like, it's so crazy to me that, I mean, there's so many things that are crazy about it, but it's like, you know, just the lies, like just the deception and like the evil that it comes from, you know, and it's like,
that is, man, still like, being perpetuated by some Republicans, like fucking alien skin Ted Cruz, lizard man.
He is a fucking nightmare. He's a demon. You
know what? He is a demon, and I would protect yourself with rosary from him coming inside.
Let me tell you,
your room.
Ted Cruz is trying to rape me in the night as a demon during my sleep paralysis nightmares. I know it's him. Yeah. I know it's him, and he will not get me.
You know what I was thinking about? I think I wrote this down too. I was like, I feel bad, just like free writing. Like, I feel bad for Ted Cruz's children because they're so young. Yeah. Are they very young?
How many kids does he have?
They're younger-ish. Like, I just remember his dumb fucking commercials to get reelected, like his ads to get reelected. Yeah. And he always does that dumb shit where he puts them on his lap and they're all like, and he's walking with his wife and they like see an American flag and they're like, that's me represented in a flag. And then they'll go and smile on the couch near a fireplace and they don't know
that their father is like, a monster.
Yeah.
A demon. You know what's crazy? You know what's interesting, though? Like, I think, you know, those kids, I'm curious to see, like, how they end up. Like, some of them may turn against their father, you know, the smart ones. Yeah. The other ones, you know, like the Eric Trumps and the Donald Trump Juniors of the Ted Cruz family will adhere to their father's, you know, sickening propaganda.
Right.
But, like, some of them, like, who's the one that turned against Rudy Giuliani's daughter? No, it wasn't her. Sorry. Who's the one that turned against her father? Who was that? One of the Republican politicians, like, the daughter was like, yo, I'm not, my father's messed up.
Was it? Oh.
I can't remember. We got it.
I know Kellyanne Conway's daughter was like, you need to get out.
Right.
Because you're destroying our family. I don't know if that was recent.
That's not the one I'm thinking of, but that's another example of like, you know, an enlightened child.
A non-manipulated child.
Yeah. But you know what's just so crazy? Like, I mean, I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said before. You know, I'm stating the obvious, but it's like, you know, I mean, like, just the hypocrisy of it all. You know, the way that you know the Black Lives Matter protesters were treated. You know, it is fucking horrifying. And I know we're a couple of, you know, white woke girl. You know, but the thing is, it's fucking horrifying. And I'm just like, man, like. The insecurity that you have to possess to storm a Capitol because what? Because you're bored? Like you feel like you didn't get what you wanted? Nothing bad happened to you. And you want to like deface
defecate on the walls of the, like, you literally shitting on the walls of our republic.
Like, what about, you know, because that's the whole thing about all these conservatives, man. All of them, their whole thing is just gaslighting you. That's all it is. You know, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, it's all gaslighting. It's like, yeah, of course Blue Lives Matter, dumbass. You think I don't think All Lives Matter? What are you talking about? Like, you know what I mean? It's insane. And then for you to use that against all these liberals who are trying to like fight for justice, right? And for you to use that against us and then go and like be a total hypocrite and hurt police officers that are trying to protect the Capitol. Right. Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. I was listening to this podcast this morning on Hidden Brain, Shankar Vedanta, who just
Shankar Vedanta. Oh my god, I love him. My little angel.
He really is. It's so soothing. I'm listening to some of my bike ride and talking about our own confirmation biases and how he intertwined the conversation a lot to do with the way that our polarized division in this country and how thick it has become. And they start off with politics, thinking about how obviously Republicans are going to think that Democrats are responsible for a thing that when Democrats are in office, if gas prices, let's say,
right,
are extremely high, they're going to blame Democrats. But when under Bush's administration, when gas prices are high, they're like, yes, oh, well, that's Democrats' fault, not Republicans, and they're not blaming it. Right. So they were just speaking about how we have this sort of set idea that everything that we believe is obviously right because of our own biases that we have.
Yeah.
And we don't think about the other sides and how they have been conditioned to think about what they have in their own self-interest, what they believe are the morals they believe in, and also own prejudices. And so when I think about that, I'm like, you know what? As a liberal, I make all these assumptions about how these people think and what they think about because that's what we see. And then you see something, and I've tried to take a step back in my biases to genuinely hear the other side to see what their concerns are. Right. And then you see something like Wednesday, what happened, and you see them wearing a fucking Viking hat. I go, you know what? Never fucking mind, because
exactly.
I go, why do I? That's not confirmation bias. That's just
that's fucking insanity. That's crazy. And that's the thing, like, you know, I want to be the kind of person that's like, oh, you know, I'd like to see both sides. But and that there are studies. Now, you know, I love to drop a little study on the pod. These studies are made up.
We got a study.
But like, there are studies done that, you know, liberals, they reach out to like 5-6 news sources because they want to access the truth. Now, you know, conservatives, they only reach out to like one, right, or whatever's catering to what they want to believe, what they believe already. Right, they're watching Fox, you know, they're listening to Breitbart News, all this shit, you know what I mean?
OANN, Newsmax.
Right, and it's just like, you know, I mean, it's like, I really, and I say this, I did tweet this a while back, but I'm like, I don't know if it's conservative liberal anymore. It's really just kind of like empath sociopath.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, and I'm not.
No, it
like,
is.
It is though. And like, I hate to be the kind of person that's like, oh, but we are right. But the thing is, but we are right. Like,
right.
I don't understand. It is like whatever you're thinking, like, that has convinced you that storming the Capitol is okay because the election was stolen from you, like, that is rooted in some deep satanic evil shit.
So what I was reflecting on this morning. I just wrote down, like, when have I ever cared about preserving democracy? Like, as who I am as a person, like, in the last 4 years, it has become such a hot topic that everyone needs to be so consumed in politics because we feel like the things that we have taken for granted, taken advantage of, are at risk of being removed from us. The sacred things that we have are at risk of failing because the system is put in place that does not offer the kind of protection for its people that it says it does. That's what's so horrifying.
That's the other thing. That's the saddest part to me is, like, you know, these people, you know, like the people that comprise the Capitol stormers, it's like they think that Trump cares about them, but he does not. Do you know what I mean?
It's manipulation.
Right. It's like that's the saddest part to me because, like, I do believe and I trust that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have this country's best interest at heart. I really do. Yeah. Like, and you know Obama did too. You know Obama did.
Of course.
Even the conservatives that fucking talk shit about him and like, you know, like, called him names, all this stuff. You know what I mean? He still, I think his heart went out to them. And he responded to that kind of hate with love. And yes, he has made mistakes as a president. I'm not saying he's a perfect president, but, like,
of course.
I mean, what we've seen, like, it's sad to me that these people think that Trump is their leader when in reality, like, he could not give a shit about you. He doesn't care about you. You know what I mean? Like, the people, like, and this is another side of it. You know, the people that are, like, that turn to him in a religious way. Oh, well, he's a Republican. Oh, well, you know, abortion, this and that and this and that. Do you think Trump really gives a shit? No, he does not. You think, like, really? Like, open your eyes.
The,
you know?
Saddest part that I thought, at least was the most heartbreaking to see, was on the lawn, which I feel like, I don't know if it was underreported or I've just, like, seen stuff flying around, but the images of, like, the noose on the lawn.
Oh, I don't know if I saw that. Oh, Jesus.
There was a noose that was hanging. And so a part of me was, like, so angry that our system allowed these people, allowed all these lies to propagate in yep. order to fuel this kind of anger and resentment. And right. I was like, they have been entirely manipulated. And then it made me think about, like, well, this is like a part of America. These people yes. have always been there. And right. they maybe haven't even voted in the last 20 years because no right. one has fueled them in the way
right.
that Donald Trump has because he's felt that they're leader. And to have oh, yeah. a noose there and the fucking Proud Boys mm-hmm. wearing shirts that say Camp Auschwitz and to say
Yo.
6 million was not enough. That right. is beyond right. politics in this country.
That's, right. And you know what I have said? Now, okay, I have a couple things I want to say about that. Now, it's so funny to me that, you know, like some people are like, I think this Capitol storming was planned. I'm like, oh, yeah? Oh, really? They had time to order T-shirts off Zazzle or whatever company you're using. I use Zazzle.
Yeah.
You know, like, you had time to order T-shirts. Sure, there was
back orders,
you know,
too, because...
Amazon Prime is not as speedy as it used to be. So, yeah. like, they had time to book flights. The woman that was shot and killed, like, I mean... That's horrible. It you know, horrible. Like she didn't need to die. She didn't no. need to die for this cause. You know what I'm saying? Like,
what is not a cause?
It's not a cause. And I feel for her family. Time. You know, I really do. I feel for, like, you know, the people close to her. I'm not saying that, you know, their pain is real too. Like, it's like,
right.
But that it's sad to me that she did not die, you know, like fighting for justice. I don't know. I don't want to speak
not,
ill yeah. of her. I just, but you know, she came from San Diego. She booked a flight. You know, these people had booked.
Yeah. Yeah, flights.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Not that it is excusable behavior at all to be doing things like that at all.
Right.
But if you think about us going to a thing because of a cause that we genuinely believe in, like if you were told and you genuinely believe that your freedom, your vote was taken away from you and someone wrongfully lost the election because of all these lies that were propagated by the people that were put in power.
Yeah.
If you think you're fighting for a country... then you're, in your mind, you are doing the right thing. You are sacrificing yourself for that because
and
they believe in it.
You're so right. And it's like the more and more that like CNN and every news source at this point, except for Fox and whatever conservative news sources are out there, it's like everyone is like, Trump is crazy. You have been lied to. But like that's only fueling their fire to be like, see, they're lying to us more, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, and this is what I was going to say earlier is that, you know, Donald Trump, he represents the id in every single American.
You did pay attention in psychology, see?
Oh, I did. Oh, but I did, right? And, you know, because really, like, he incites, like, the animalism in the weak and vulnerable. He incites it. He latches onto it. Like, if you feel not heard and, you know, like, ignored, right? Like, and you... like he will get in there. He will get in your head, baby. He is a fucking mastermind, evil person. Like, and it's crazy to me. I mean, again, I have thought about this myself. Like, you know, let's say I didn't grow up in New York City. I didn't grow up with, you know, very liberal parents who hate Trump. Yeah. My father was disgusted.
I'm so glad he got to see him losing, though.
Me too. When Biden won, this was like 2 weeks before my father passed away, you know?
Yeah.
My mom and my dad and I, we went to brunch and we like had drinks. It was very difficult for my father to walk, you know?
Yeah.
And we were dancing in the street. My father had his cane,
his cane
in the air, you know? I mean, I'm glad he got to see that. And
it was a special day.
Yeah, and I am, you know, I'm devastated that he's gone, but like in some way I'm glad he didn't have to see this Capitol. That would have really that would have upset him so deeply, so fundamentally. So,
I think it's so sad that it takes something like this for the other side to wake up, because this is the end and crumbling of the Republican Party. Like, this is it, because they no longer stand for this country, because you cannot claim that you are a party that supports democracy when
That's
you inherently do not believe in democracy.
Right. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, you know, wow, Betsy DeVos resigned. Why? Because it's a trend? Like, because you... your friends are doing it? Like, you're literally you, like, thank God you resigned because you didn't do so much damage these past 4 years. Thank God, you know, like,
it's so
you know what I mean? Like, it's so sad to me that these Republicans, like, this is what it took to for you to call out Trump. And you know what my brother said, which I think is very astute and I agree with. Like, he said, like, it probably had to come to this,
right?
Because, you know, their lives were threatened. You know what I mean? And it's like, these people in power, like, they are in a place of privilege. Like, you know, you're a congressperson, you know, you're a senator. Like, you don't, your life is not really in danger. Like, you kind of, you're kind of coasting
now
around.
Now Lindsey Graham is getting attacked at the airport and it brings me such joy.
I know, and I love it, you know, and it's like, and it took you to feel like your life was in danger for you to like recognize the importance of that, where like people in this country, like, you know, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, like, their lives were in danger, that, you know, they were mistakenly killed because of like racism. You know what I mean?
It's always self-interest in the same way that they won't support a policy until it affects them.
Exactly. It's just so like self-absorbed and evil, man. I just, it's like so crazy that just, the hypocrisy of it all. It's really crazy. Like,
and what upsets me is that I think that Donald Trump had to become president and destroy this country because he has a mushroom dick and cannot please woman.
And that's,
I think about that often. I'm like, if he had a decent size penis that was normal, would he have destroyed our country?
Right. And you know what? And let me just say this about mushroom-sized penises. They work, too. They work, too. Listen, if you're out there, you're listening, you got a small penis, good for you.
You don't have to destroy democracy.
You don't have to destroy the nation. We care
for
you.
We believe in you. We can do so much with it.
Yeah, it's like, exactly, like, come on. Like, come on. You know?
I think a shape is fun.
I think a lot of, you know, and myself included, you know, women out there, we got to stop, you know, shaming dick size, you know, because it's like, come on now. What you want guys out there talking about your pussy and saying your pussy's busted? I don't think so.
Okay, so here's, I guess, I never want to tell women to stop doing anything. Like, we've been oppressed.
You
like,
are right.
But when it comes to saving democracy, if it just means keeping our mouths shut and stuff.
Like, you know, and that's the thing. Like, it is interesting. And I actually really want to read Mary Trump's book. You know,
I've listened to so many interviews.
Yeah, I'm very curious. I do
his,
have the book.
You know what? It's also his father, Fred, who was a monster first.
Yeah, that's right. It's
money is the root of all evil, baby.
Yo, it's
eat
the root of all evil.
Fucking rich.
Yeah.
Until I'm extremely wealthy.
Right. Well, that's the thing. But, you know, the thing is like, money is not necessarily the root of all evil. I hear what you're saying. But it's like, people, I think, you know, people can use money for good, you know,
and
the rich, there are good rich people out there, but then there are evil. And that's the same thing about poor people. Like, there's fucked up poor people and then there's really nice ones. I mean, I think hot take, you know,
there are good people and there are bad people.
So this is just like the stupidest point I have ever made.
No, it was good. It's very clear.
But yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's just so fascinating to me. Like, just, I don't know. Like, it's, and you know what I was thinking about? You know how, like, Napoleon Bonaparte was, like, sent to an island to die?
Yeah.
Like, why is Trump not being sent to St. Helena Island perish on a rock in the sun? Why not?
My hope is that he just rots in prison and he has,
I don't think he's
going
to go to prison, though.
I mean, there are a lot, the New York State, the Southern District, Manhattan is like primed and prepped and ready to go. I don't know if he's going to go to prison the way that we all fantasize. We have to see how things transpire, but like, the next week should be interesting. Like, he doesn't deserve, because when he gets impeached, and he will.
Do you think? I have my doubts.
I don't think Pence will do the 25th Amendment thing, but I'm a little nervous because of the Senate. It has not gone over. We have not transitioned to our majority yet because they haven't been sworn in. So
right.
the the Republicans that were the ones that didn't impeach him the first time is the one that have to come forward right. and say it. I have right. this fantasy that Lindsey Graham mm-hmm. is just like in his bedroom, and I tweeted this and no one liked it, so I'm gonna re-pitch it.
Oh, but
like,
I'm gonna retweet it.
Wait, so I went on a walk and I was listening to I Will Survive, and I was just like walking.
So good, so good.
And I just feel like so many of the abused Republicans, especially mm-hmm. Lindsey Graham, who is a gay man,
yeah,
is just like dancing in his room to a poster of Trump. Just oh. like, I will survive. Like, if you...
Yeah.
He's just, like, wow. been... It's yeah. just been, like, a full 5, 4, whatever years of abuse from him. And he's just like, I'm coming
right.
out of this alive.
That's
he is
right.
also evil and so complicit in all these yep. crimes. They are literally crimes.
Yes. Yes. There are crimes against humanity. Sorry. Crimes against humanity. Like,
my dream. I have to
tell me.
You
tell
me
your fantasy. Tell me.
No, this was not my dream.
Oh,
this
your dream.
My
your
nightmare.
Dream.
My nightmare
okay, tell me,
last
tell me, tell
night.
Me. Yeah.
Was okay, so when Trump lost, I mm-hmm. was at Ryan's and his yes. whole family, and his yes. brother and his mom had stolen a Trump flag from someone's lawn or whatever.
Really? Oh, that is badass.
So we were holding it for a month, and we said that we were gonna burn it on yeah. election day, and we did in a fire pit.
Nice.
And it was one of the most cathartic things I think yeah. I've ever felt in my entire life.
That is fantastic.
It was better than watching an ex suffer. And
and that's pretty good. We all
that's,
know that.
That's, and so we're watching it burn. And so then last night I had this dream that we were in my house and someone came over with a burning Trump flag.
Oh.
And then all these people start coming down the street. And there's this guy who was in my mind. You know when you identify things in a dream as just like
yeah.
no one's saying anything, but you recognize who they are.
It yes.
was the people of the storming of the Capitol.
Right.
And the guy was going through my mail. And I was like, terrorist, stop. And then I was like so terrified because then I took my family out the back door because I was like, I need to protect you because I don't think you guys understand how
yeah.
dangerous this is.
Right.
Maybe my subconscious telling me, I don't think my parents understand what's going on. And
right.
I
right.
took them out and saved them. And we fled.
See, even in your dream, you are a sweet angel.
No.
Even in
no,
your
no,
subconscious.
No. I was just so terrified.
I've been trying to
yeah. meditate. So your night terrors. To circle back.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else to say about the night terrors except that they are disturbing. And I, yeah. in the dreams, like, I hear myself screaming out, but, like, you can't, like, yeah. I don't know if I was screaming out.
Yeah.
But one time my mom told me, she was like, I heard you screaming in your sleep last night. I have no memory. She was like, yeah, you were like, help me, you're hurting
oh
me. I mean, this
oh my
is.
Oh, God, Maggie.
Oh, God. Call the doctor. 911. But,
so we know we have not, sorry, to sum that up, we know we have not given any hot takes on anything else that anyone's talking about, but we do
yeah.
love this country. We're fucking patriots.
We do. You know, that's the thing. Like, I mean.
We
want to
fight for it.
I don't know. I think, you know, when Obama got elected, like, I had a lot of hope that was
yeah.
going to be very healing for this country, you know, and. I think in some ways it was, but like I said, like, you know, Trump just got in there and he just fucking brings out the worst.
He really does. So we gotta.
He's like an abusive
yeah.
boyfriend. Like he, but like emotionally and like manipulative. So you don't
yeah.
even know you're being abused. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like it's that deep. It's that deep.
To most people. It's like a lot of us recognized the abuse,
yeah.
but the
yeah,
people
yeah.
that were quietly accepting it didn't
right.
know.
Right.
And
I think,
going, yeah.
Yeah. I think like people who had voted for him. Like, for real, man, if I had voted for him, and, like, let's say I was, like, just the kind of Republican that's, like...
My money.
Yeah, right. Like, that's the funniest thing about, you know, Republicans to me. I'm just like, but taxes! It's like,
yeah.
do you, like... Do, you know what I mean? Like, taxes,
that's,
like, all they think about. And you know what's interesting? Because I was reading these articles. Maybe I sent it to you, but, you know, it breaks down, like, the six psychological characteristics of a Trump supporter. And, the most interesting one, I mean, obviously a lot of it is rooted in like, you know, social dominance and racism and elitism and, you know, protecting your assets, feeling like things are being taken from you. You know what I mean? But the last one, which I found the most interesting, and it's also like, it's obvious in its own way, but it's like, it's just so true. It's like, you know, they a person who's supporting Trump, they cannot see someone succeed if they feel they don't deserve it, right? Like, if they have gone through something, they think everyone deserves to go through the same exact hurt and suffering. You know what I mean?
That sounds like what I was just listening to on this podcast.
Hidden Brain?
Yeah.
Oh, yo, I love Shankar.
About naive realism and sort of coming up with your own excuses as to why. So basically saying like, oh, if that person, like, George, they played a clip from George Carlin, who used to be the best at observational humor.
Love him.
But he was like, you ever notice how when someone in a car is driving slower than you, they're a fucking idiot. And when they're driving faster than you, they're a maniac. And it's like, we create our own definition of other people's sufferings. We don't have the capacity to think inwardly about or to we don't have the introspection to do that to our own mind, but we can easily do it to other people. Because for us, we are observing other people, which is why observationalists are the ones that say you can you have to study people's behavior. You cannot just study the way that they evaluate their self, because we don't have the ability to do that.
Right.
We're getting back on track with the meaning of this pod, which is that we are unfound psychologists.
That we kind of are. I mean, listen, you know, I mean, I love talking about this shit because it does go so deep, you know. There's so many layers to this. To this incident and to the past 4 years, really. I mean, and everything, really. Okay. Everything. Okay.
So we love this country. I have been in. So I had a deep talk and discussion about with my parents last night. I have been in my childhood home.
Yeah.
For a month and a half.
How is that
too
going?
Long? I don't know. But
you're not there anymore.
I am here. I'm staying another week.
Oh, but you didn't tell me that. I thought that you had gone back to CT.
I was supposed to. I was supposed to go back to Connecticut. I stayed another week because I have a soft spot for my dad, who was like, please stay. And I'm like, you guys are obsessed with me.
I'm sure he loves hanging out with you, you know.
Well, if you've seen anything on my Instagram stories, my dad has been the main FT, main feature.
Yo, he's funny. Marty, right? So funny.
But my parents, so last night we had a talk. Circling back to our thesis of this podcast.
Tell me about
how some things that they've done that hurt me and maybe made me think about a certain thing. And my mom immediately got defensive because the first reaction that you have is that, like, oh, you're a terrible parent, which is like the worst thing you can ever be called.
Oh, yeah.
I think. And then I made them just sit and realize, like, hey, I'm not trying to, like, say fuck you. Like, I'm actually trying to do better and trying to work on myself, but all I'm saying is that it's okay for you to acknowledge this and then like say I'm sorry, and then I recognize all you need is to say I recognize this was wrong.
Yes. Yeah. And that apparently that is very difficult for 99% of people. I mean, right? Like, how much strength does it take to be like,
I
fucked up? You know, that takes so much emotional strength. And that you know, that's the whole root of a lot of things. Like, you know, like, to me, that's why I'm like, yo, women, baby. Because, like, and like, it's just like, you know, there is strength and vulnerability. Brene Brown, come on, exhibit A. There's strength and vulnerability. Come on. You know, like, if that's a realization that you cannot reach and you know, in your lifetime, I feel sorry for you. You know, I feel sorry for you because that is the truth. That is the truth.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And so they did say, oh, we're so sorry. My dad goes, ooh, sorry about that. And I'm just like, and then he's like, takes a bite of his meal, and then like, it's fine.
They are a little delusional. It's tough because it's like, I mean, your parents love you, you know, and like,
they're obsessed.
They're obsessed with you. And you know, like, parents are flawed people. That, you know, that's something that you also realize as you get older. Like, I mean, you think your parents are like, that you don't really know anything else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but as you get older, you can kind of see them as fully realized, complex human beings. And that's also a gift in its own way. It's like, you know, like, if you can love them for who they are, because that's what they did for you. You know what I mean? They always saw you as a complex human being, and they loved you unconditionally. Some parents, you know what I mean?
I also will say that I think I, obviously, you know, I'm very sensitive, and I get angry.
It's a good thing.
Sometimes.
Strength and sensitivity.
I'm a fucking uncle. I get angry with them a lot when they don't just like immediately share my progressive views.
Right.
And they're kind of the people that are, they're not like stuck in the past, but when people are like, oh, man of his time or whatever, that's not excusable behavior for like, it's racist or prejudice, any kind of actions like that or thoughts. But there is just some ways that they have not progress and transition or have evolved their thoughts and mindset to think about like certain things of the world as other adults who are engrossed in discussions and topics and reading. Like if it's not their interest, like they're not going to evolve.
Right.
Exhibit A. Have you ever seen?
Tell me.
So we watched Grease.
Oh, so good. But so I have a lot of thoughts on Grease.
But, yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts on Grease.
What are your thoughts on Grease? And I want to see if we share the same recap.
My main thing, and I think this is kind of a pretty shared view of a lot of women who watch Grease later in their life. And let me just say, like, Grease is amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay? I was obsessed.
We know. Grease is the word.
Yeah. Grease is the word. wait, what is Sandy? Sandy. Like,
John Travolta impression.
So, like, when Grease came out, but when did it come out?
73?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I was three. Just kidding. I was not born. No, but I was like obsessed.
We used
to
watch it when you were younger, right?
Yes,
I used to too.
It was on TV all the time.
So
and,
dirty.
I was fucking obsessed. And I used to sing in the bathtub. Like, that was like my singing spot. I would sing Hopelessly Devoted to You, obviously.
Oh, that's in your range.
Definitely in your range. Devoted to you. And I used to do that karaoke so much. But anyway, so.
I feel like you still sing that to some people that you've slept with.
One night stand, I'm like, he doesn't even remember me. I'm like,
you're taking his picture and putting it in a pool.
Oh yeah, I would pull
with a spell.
That's right, a dark spell,
which we also have to talk about. Okay, go ahead.
But the whole thing is, you know, Sandy, she compromises who she is for a man. You know what I mean?
That's the whole ending. I was
so
what?
And that is a bad message. You know,
a horrible message.
And, you know, like, I hate to be this, like, you know, white woke bitch over here, but I mean, come on, Sandy, or whoever wrote this. You know what I mean? Like,
and she does look hot at the end. Like, you cannot deny that.
Hot.
But you didn't. But for him to fall down to his knees and take that long for you to finally be together.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh, so like. So that's just telling girls out there, it's like, yeah, you know, you got to change who you are for a guy.
You got to
be a hoe and you got to
you got to throw cigarettes on the ground and twist them with your toe.
It's so stupid. Like, it's just so like, it's like,
what do I do?
And Frenchie's like, I know what we could do. We could transform who you are entirely. It's like, Frenchie, you are an enabler. Frenchie. Get help, girl. You know what I mean? Go to beauty school. Follow your dream. Do not make this young, sweet woman from Australia compromise her dignity and her identity for a boy.
Exactly.
This is, you know what I mean? And I know, again, hashtag white woke bitch, but I mean, are we right? Are we right about this?
We're 1,000% right. And also, the like, horrific masculinity that just, like, normalizes that men are allowed to treat women like that, and then they have they have to accept that and are conditioned to still try and work to impress a guy even when they treat them like that, and still be like, oh, I hope one day he'll love me. Like, they romanticize the mistreatment of women. That's what it is.
And also, you know, to that point, it's like, Danny is like, I gotta be cool for Kanicki. It's like, who cares? Kanicki's knocking up women left and right. Okay, he's knocking up Rizzo. Doesn't give a fuck. He's not gonna show up for her. You know what I'm saying? Rizzo is at the school being like, cry in front of you. It's the worst thing I could do. Really?
I'm also 40 years old.
Right, right, right. sorry. Dr. Channing is like, I am 59, and I don't know how I got cast as Rizzo, but I will do my best, and I'm going to fucking nail
this
song.
Wait, also, who plays Cha-Cha, like, legit had to be 40.
Oh, my God, Cha-Cha. Wait,
she's like, I'm coming
Cha-Cha's,
back.
Again. Cha-Cha's lover, who had, like, a busted
holes
face.
In his face?
Yeah. Hold it. I was like,
the only accurate part of that movie was calling him Crater Face. Oh,
do they do that? I forgot about
he goes,
that.
Hey, Crater Face. Like, whatever.
That poor actor. He's like, yeah, sunken. I got cast because of my craters. What can I tell you? But for real. And that's another. And if you break down Grease for real, I mean, we got to write a dissertation.
Yeah,
okay?
Baby.
Because for
yeah.
real, like, because, like, oh, to cry in front of you, that's the worst thing I could do. Mm. I can. What is it? It's like really.
That's
not
the worst thing I could do.
I can flirt with all the guys.
Yeah. Da, 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 that's actually the best thing you can do.
That song
that's
is
the
so
best
good,
thing.
Though.
She should
that
have been
and
felt empowered.
Yeah. She,
and then the
rapey
rapes. Yeah.
Right.
There's
like,
rapey
oh, okay.
rape stuff.
Like yeah, Kinnicky. I don't know. Probably. You know, legally raped you. Took off a condom mid sex, and now you're pregnant. Well.
Right.
You know, that's a lot to deal with, Rizzo. Maybe you want to go see a therapist. Maybe you want to harm Kinnicky, and that's okay. You know what I mean? Why are we blaming ourselves? You're she blaming felt, yourself, yeah. saying, oh, I'm not going to cry in front of Kinnicky. Oh, because, you know what I mean? This goes, this shit goes fucking
But the part, the rapey part was when he when he just, like, pounces on her in the car, and she's like, Jimmy, get out of here. Yeah, yeah.
I forgot about that. It's almost like it happened to me, and I you know, I'm having a flashback.
Yeah. You know, wait, I have to say, this is why I love New York City so much and going to cabaret bars. This is what I miss the most about, like, pre-pandemic New York, is going to Marie's Crisis and just fucking drinking whiskey during Christmas time with a bunch of musical theater freaks who will never get their chance to be on a Broadway stage.
So good.
And one time they were playing Tell Me More, Tell Me More. And then collectively, the entire bar, when it came of the dun-dun-dun, the part where they go, tell me more, tell me more. And then what's the actual line? Where
like,
they go,
does he have a car? Or is it later?
Like, does he have a car? Ooh, this part where it's like, boop, bop, bop, boop, bop, bop, whatever. Yeah. The whole bar just goes, rapey, rape, rapey, rape, rapey, rapey, rape, rape. And
it's
like,
so
just
true.
That is the most New York City thing. Yeah, if I were to describe, like, going, just like living in New York City for X amount of years, that's a special moment.
Yeah. And you know what? God bless Pixar. Okay. I know this is quite a shift. We are pivoting. But God bless Pixar for creating movie after movie that is empowering young girls. Okay. Moana. You know what I'm saying? Exhibit fucking A. Moana,
I have, wait,
baby.
We also have to talk about Soul. Oh, my God.
Oh, I haven't seen it. And
okay,
you know what?
Okay,
my brother told me that he watched with his family and that he had a breakdown because of our dad. And I don't think I'm ready for Soul because I know it's about the afterlife, you know.
Fair.
But I know that it's, like, good and, like, you know,
I
beautiful.
Will say that I want one of the writers of Pixar to be my therapist because I feel like they have it figured out.
They got it down pat. They
I'm
are
like,
evolved.
Why aren't they?
They're evolved.
Like,
and you know what? God bless them because, like, you know, it's like they almost like they see the error of Disney, you know, and they are trying to repair it. But they are so smart. Okay. So
they do it in such a seamless way.
Right. It's like they are like, you know, mastermind manipulators, but for the good of humanity.
Right. Oh,
and
my God.
Because it's like they are seeping into your consciousness. They are telling you that, like, women are heroes. Women are powerful. But, like, you're a kid. You're like, this is funny. You know what I mean?
Right. Meanwhile, they're for adults. The movies are for adults.
Exactly. And it's like, I do think that, you know, that kind of, you know, like, beautiful, gorgeous propaganda, there needs to be more of that. Because we come from the generation that grew up with, like, you know, Cinderella, you know, Snow White, you know, like, fucking Ariel. Again, like,
this bitch
gets her voice, like, taken away
so she
can marry a guy, like,
and then, like, Mulan the only time a woman can be powerful is if she pretends to be a man.
Crazy. Yo, but that said, like, it's like all of these stories are, like, so beautiful in their own way and are
still love
so
them.
Fucking catchy. Kidding me? Reflection? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah. Like, but okay, so my main point for all of this was with my dad, circling this back, this also has to do with Pixar.
Right.
And Disney.
Yes.
So he when we were watching Grease, he was like, oh, what a time to be alive. Oh, I miss my. It. And so that's then funny. You just, he sees that and it's nostalgic. Like, we're going to look back at the 90s. Even there was so much misogyny and all the sexism.
It's nostalgic
shit in the
90s, for us.
We're going to be like, oh my God, I miss that.
Right.
And for him, he was just like, oh, what did I miss? Living in the 50s, no, nothing mattered. I'm like, for men. And
right. Right.
So he just, like, loved it. He was, like, giddy little boy. And then, like, the so next morning funny. Was listening to. He, like, turned off my music to play Beauty School Dropout and was, like, dancing to it. And I'm so like, all right, good, we don't have though. To address this.
Beauty School like, Dropout. Yeah. Yeah. Go back to high school.
But he's a sucker for Disney movies. And we watched Lion King weeping. He's like, Frozen
Lion King
two,
is good.
I cried.
Lion King is good.
The new one, too, is good. I don't know.
I haven't seen the live action one.
You should. It's
very, I heard
it's very good.
Interesting. Okay.
People said this. It was a weird review. People were saying that because they looked too real, that it made them feel like their emotions weren't being processed like they were in the cartoon,
right.
And then
well,
it
that
didn't
was like
feel
the same...
like you could connect to it. And I was like,
yeah, that was like the same thing with Cats. I don't know if you saw Cats. Hot take.
Have not seen
I
Cats.
Am a
Maggie,
fan
don't tell
of
me that you loved
Cats.
It. No, we have to end this immediately.
Hot take. I am a fan of Cats.
Okay. Obviously, the only thing that's good about it is memory. We know that.
No,
do you know
that's
about
not
the
only
cut?
Thing.
Do you know about the butthole cut?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I mean, so that's the only reason I would ever watch it is if I saw the butthole version where they
but you know
drew
what,
in buttholes.
You gotta like, okay, so my two best friends from high school, we got so fucking high and went to go see Cats and it was just so funny. Like,
but would you see it if you weren't high?
Yes. Yes, I would. If I was watching it with like my nieces and nephews, which I plan to show it to them. Yeah. And, but I would watch it again, and I would watch it high. You know, that's on my list. But they said the same thing. You know, that they were too human. You know, for us to like process them as like creatures, and like for us to like,
right.
You know what I mean? But the thing about, you know, I wonder like what T.S. Eliot would make of.
But here's the thing: is that like, you know? At the end of the day, they are being played by humans, and animals cannot sing.
Right. You know what's okay?
And not
so
asking.
When Jennifer Hudson sings "Memories,"
it's pretty special.
Yeah, this shit. The thing is,
did you come?
Well, I climaxed, and I'm not ashamed of it. But no. But you know what? Like, she is weeping. Okay. And,
oh, the
and
snot, right?
The snot. Yeah. You know, that was like, to me, I'm like, okay, are the editors like trying to play a prank on her? Or are they like, let's take all of the snot takes and use those? I'm like, there had to have been some takes where she wasn't like, you know, dripping snot. For real. There had to have been. But I guess the editors were like, no, we need the snot. We need the snot take.
Because they need to know how dedicated she is.
Yeah, they need to know. But, That's a good one, man. That's a good
I,
one.
I was in the summer in Ocean City, beloved
Ocean
place
City,
for us
baby.
Both. I took a run, which is a rare thing that I do.
Oh, I never do.
On the beach.
Yeah.
And I go for like from one lifeguard stand to the other. And like I don't get very far.
Right.
And I put on Memory. And there is something that happens to you physically.
Oh, yeah.
I will not call it a climax, but when you run on the beach to Memory, sung only by Jennifer Hudson. And like the seagulls were getting out of my way.
Yeah.
Like it was so magical.
Yo,
And I felt, I was like also
Dude.
Weeping.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, what's happening?
Yeah. You know what? Jennifer Hudson, I mean, I totally get you because like I literally cannot walk down the street listening to music without thinking I am like in, on Mars, like, you know, a goddess. On the I literally think that I'm like the queen of a planet, you know what I mean? Like not
that's
the Earth.
Interesting. Usually people just imagine themselves like on Broadway, but you are
no, I'm
out
like,
of this
I
world.
Am, no, I'm like literally like I am an alien goddess queen. Like it's like a manic thing. I can't. That's... Sometimes I can't. Like if I have to, like listening to music for me, it's like it's such a thing. It's such a like I cannot multitask really. I have to like focus on it. But you, yeah. But like when I'm running, it's like, yeah, I mean, I can do that.
It motivates you, right?
Yeah, but Jennifer Hudson has that quality. Like she has, what's that song? I'm gonna love you. You know,
oh,
that song?
From Dreamgirls.
Oh God,
that is the ultimate lip syncing song.
I saw a drag queen lip sync to that in like the heat of the summer. Two summers ago at Union Square, they were doing like a
incredible
some kind of I don't know, like a drag queen competition or something. Yeah. And I just happened upon it, and this drag queen, y'all, I wish I could find them, as I just don't remember what their name was. But I like
another thing I miss about New York.
Fucking slayed it. Like she was wearing a gorgeous yellow gown, and she did this song, and it was magical. Like it was magical. Ugh. Like had that performance like been on Drag Race, that shit. She would have won Drag Race.
Yeah.
Like, that shit.
You've been watching Drag Race, haven't you?
Oh, I'm deeply, deeply.
You watch it with Ashlyn and Kate?
I do. Yeah. And Molly Kornfeld, too. She loves it, too.
What a dream.
Oh, yeah.
Two of our guests. Wow. If you've really been dedicated fans and have listened to all the episodes,
yeah,
Ashlyn
yeah.
and Molly have both been on. Wah, 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 wah. Okay, so the last thing I would love to talk about before we have to end is...
Yep.
Your spells that you have been...
Oh, I don't know if we should.
Okay.
I need help.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. So what do you think... When people... Okay, so you send me voice notes and things, which I will not obviously disclose any names or whatnot. But you and your other friends that you send them to, they say you need help, and I tell you to turn it into a show.
Yes.
Do you feel...
Yes.
What do you feel like is the more helpful response?
I think...
Am I enabling you?
No. So, no. You are... No. And then when they say...
I just believe in you.
No, you believe in me, and they... When they say you need help, they're like, this is great, but, like, okay. You need it. You know, they're, like, joking, but... I just think... I don't know, man. I feel a new show coming. I mean,
yeah.
I want to do something for my father, you know.
Yeah.
I want to do something. Did I tell you I made tote bags? Did I tell you?
No. For my father. Do you have a space on it?
Yes. And
it's amazing.
Yeah, so my sweet father, and that so on the front of the tote bag is like a photo of him juggling. And it says, "We love you, Frannis." And then on the back, it's like his another photo of him, and then some of his catchphrases, and then some of the items he enjoyed, like soup, crackers. There's like a picture of a cracker. And okay, so this is the other thing. So my father had false teeth, and like he used to play, yeah,
like full,
like a dentures, like a denture you put in. So my dad, when I was younger, he used to play so many pranks with his false teeth. He would leave them on a plate and just walk away. And so I saved them, because that's the other thing. We got to clean out this house, because it's like,
yeah.
I love my father, but you know, there's a lot of little
stuff.
Hoarding
stuff.
Yeah. But the thing about it is like he kept everything, you know, like the good, the bad, the ugly. So it's like I am going through stuff, finding beautiful letters he wrote to us, you know, finding letters I wrote to him, you know, it's very emotional. So
yeah,
but I did find his false teeth, and I put them in bleach. I soaked them in bleach overnight in a fantastic bleach solution.
Did they turn all white?
No, they I brushed them. I have issues. Because I was like, I just want to clean them up a little bit, but now I'm like, you know what I want to do? I want to like, I want to turn them into like some kind of necklace. Is that crazy?
Let's talk about this for a moment. Do you want to wear it, or do you want to hang it on a wall? Those are two different things.
You know,
because when you wear something, that means that someone's going to ask you, what is this interesting piece and where did you get it? And then you have to explain it.
I know.
Whereas only close people in your life are going to come over and see it, and then you can tell them.
Well, I think that I want it. I want to wear it. So I also want to get a couple tattoos. I don't have any tattoos.
Okay.
Did I tell you what I want to get?
No, but can I... Maybe I'll offer a suggestion. If I imagine that you're thinking of like stringing it along.
Yes.
Like shark tooth method. Okay.
Right.
Might I suggest what might, and only because my parents sell jewelry and they have little tchotchkes and gifts that they know. So there are ways to do it.
Yeah.
This might not interest you. Maybe having a few of the teeth in like a little locket, socket, locket, pop it, like a little thing that you can, that's, if you wanted to present someone with what's inside, you can open it up.
Right.
And the teeth are there. So you're still wearing the teeth, but they're not.
I did think of
that. Want it though, if I'm guessing you want it, you want it displayed. So I'm going to stop my suggestion.
Okay. So well, I did consider what you're saying because now even myself as just, if you saw my favorites list on Etsy or Amazon Prime, it is unhinged. It is unhinged. It's all like teeth necklace. Yeah. Like, you know, I just ordered a medieval gown for no reason. It's on my Instagram story. It's, I need help.
I must
It's
look.
So funny. Yeah, yeah. It was like $40, you know? I'm like, why not have this medieval gown?
You know what? Why?
You know?
That's where the government's money should be going. Right. Support these.
Right. You're going to give me unemployment, honey? Well, I'm going to spend it wisely. So,
but businesses need to be supported.
Yeah. But I hear what you're saying about the teeth and the locket, but I think I don't want to.
For if we do use this video, this gown.
Yes.
Isn't it all dark?
That I know. Looks... Well, there's other options, but I just want to see how this one goes. And we'll.
Oh, and here's Laris also.
Oh, yeah. That's my my fake fiance,
stupid
Laris.
Stupid glare. Laris.
Laris. So, okay, sorry. Go ahead. But, you know, so, but what I want to do is that, I would have the teeth. Okay, I think I don't want to take the dentures apart, but I'm thinking like maybe I don't know. I could like put them in some kind of like silver or gold solution or something, and then they're it's almost like Flava Flav wearing a clock, but it's my father's teeth. Like, is that crazy? I mean, yeah, it is, but. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think that's an option, and
dipping them in
solid gold.
You can make a sculpture out of it. I feel like that also.
I was thinking a sculpture, and so the reason I brought it up is because I did a photo shoot with the teeth, and
Didn't you send me this photo?
Well, no, I took pictures of the teeth themselves to put onto the tote bag. I have the tote bag right here. Hold on, let me show you. Let me show you.
Yeah, I do want to.
Hang on.
It.
So,
I mean, honestly, thank God.
I know. Ah, sorry. Oh, God. There's so many items. So, this is the front.
Oh.
We love you, Franis. That's my dad.
Oh, that's juggling. Beautiful.
Yeah. And then this is him. And then so.
Oh, my God.
This is, like, he loved baseball. Those are his actual teeth.
Wow.
That I took a picture of. He loved soup.
Incredible.
He loved trees and flowers. He loved the moon. He loved crackers, saltine crackers.
Gloves.
He loved winter gloves. And this is a picture of his actual tin whistle that
hot
he
tea. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then so these are his phrases. So as are you. So that, let me just read the phrases. So one of them, as are you. So I wasn't actually there for this, but like I think the story is that it was in Ocean City as well, and some guy, like I don't know what it was, that but he like parked like in his spot or something, whatever, some guy left a note like on my dad's car being like, you're an asshole, and then my dad left a note in response that just said, as are you.
As are you. Incredible.
So then the other phrase.
Beautiful
yeah, the other
note.
Phrase was hot soup, because he always said that. He'd be like, I'd like some hot soup. And that was just like a joke, like forever. And then the other one was hot tea with honey, because he loved hot tea.
Yeah.
And then his teeth, or no, and then good night, sweetie, because my dad used to write notes to my mom when she would fall asleep in her chair, and that said, good night, sweetie, and just leave a piece of loose leaf.
Did he sleep in the bed and she slept on the chair?
Yes, because
it's
like
her, it's her place. It's
yeah,
her happy
she just loves her chair. Yeah,
yeah,
she just loved her chair. And then the other phrase is perhaps dot dot dot, because he always be like, perhaps, maybe we'll see, you know, like. And then the other one is two kites, one string, because at my graduation party when I graduated from college, my brother Pat had just gotten engaged to his now wife Lindsay, and my dad gave this like speech for like I don't know like 50-60 people that we invited to this party, And he was just like, you know, you guys are like two kites, one string. And everyone was like, what? And that was just like, you know, a joke for so long. We were all just like, what does that mean? But okay, man, we love it. So, but, you know, like, my dad always gave speeches like that. He was so funny, but he also knew how to, like, make you cry. It was just like,
that so is sweet, the ultimate man. Dream, baby, which yeah. is why when I write cards, my main goal is to get a chuckle and then the tear.
Yeah. You gotta get them both. That's the thing. You gotta be genuine. And when you write a card, you gotta be genuine. Then you gotta sprinkle in a little humor.
Throw some memories in there.
End it on a genuine note. And then, come on, it's perfection, baby. You
know? My dad's 70th birthday was this year, and he cries at like every card I ever wrote him. And aww. I don't think he cried this year. And it was the end of December. And I was just like, literally, fuck 2020. This is, I'm done.
Ever.
Anyway.
I totally get it. I used to write a lot of cards for my dad, too, that I have found. And he would cry. And he kept every single one of them.
And you have them now. Are you reading some of them?
Yeah, I've read some of them. And wait, what do you mean? Like right now?
Have you read? Yeah, like recently.
Oh, yeah. Some of them I've read to myself. And sometimes I just start crying because I'm like, oh, my God. Because he also would write me little things, too. And you know, he did that for all of us, though. He would always write us little letters. And that's, I mean, now I'm, yeah. I mean, it was just so, such
it's
a good
special. Man. It's so special to have. Father. And also, if you ever need a cry on cue, just, you know.
Oh, right. Just think of the letter. I know. I know. Yeah, for real.
That was so insensitive.
No, it was not. Please. I'm like, you know, I take things too far myself. And
well, team.
Okay.
This is our start to 2020. We're revamping we're gonna have new guests. Thank you for joining us today for our deep dive into death,
life,
politics,
death,
Pixar,
Grease. I really enjoy that Grease deep dive. I haven't talked about that really on a deep level with anyone. But
the next
about
thing
it.
That we do have to talk about is Saturday Night Fever is another. Oh my God! I we'll get to that next time.
We got to discuss.
Totally. Anywho,
I'd
love to end on that.
Really quick. Have you seen the show I May Destroy You?
No.
You got to watch it. It's on HBO. Okay. Please do yourself a favor. Yeah. Watch that show.
Okay.
Maybe not with your parents. It's a lot, but it is so genius. It's so good.
Yeah, just text that to me.
I will.
And hot wreck. Yes. Thanks, listeners.
I love you.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.